about standing on the top of you. And I let my words reveal
so that your giving may be in secret.
Jesus, I am so in love with you. Simplest of all love songs, I want to bring to you. Oh, yes. So I'll let my words be few. Hey. Jesus, I am so in love with you.
Much. If you haven't turned in your Bible to Matthew chapter 6, please do. And as I mentioned, there is an outline that will go along with the message as well. Did everybody get one of those outlines? Very good. As I mentioned, it is National Hunger and Homelessness Awareness Sunday. You may not realize this, but Brenda and I have been the recipients of people's giving when there was a time we were in need. I remember that clearly. And on the one hand, it was humbling to receive help and humbling to admit we were in need. But the Lord taught me something through that. That so often it is a matter of our pride that our needs go unmet. The Lord says in the book of James, He says, you have not because what? You ask not. That's the first part of it. I'm not going to preach a separate sermon, but we have not because we ask not. We're too full of pride to ask for help. And I got to be honest with you, as it was for me. That is something that the Lord will work on you about. So if you're at a place where, you know, you're dealing with your pride because you have a need, in any, it may not necessarily even be a financial need, but you have a need of some sort and you're not dealing with it, God will help you in that. I can promise He will help you. Well, Matthew chapter 6, Jesus has some things to say to us about this whole issue of giving. Giving is in the heart of God. The Scripture is full of expressions of His care and His concern for all of us, and especially for His people. The manifestation of God's care and concern has always been very real and very practical. When the Israelites were wandering through the desert, and they began to grumble because they had no water, God didn't just look at them and say, sorry guys, suck it up, buttercup. No, He didn't say that. He says to Moses, go over to that rock, take your staff and strike the rock, and water flowed out of the rock. They needed water. God provided water. We have a practical God. We too need to be practical. We too need to have the heart of God. He is able to give help to those that are in need. As JoJo mentioned, there are over 27 verses in the Bible just specifically on the area of us giving, helping those in need. And as JoJo mentioned, let me emphasize it again. Every week we have these signs that are out front. I told JoJo he has a new task. Every week he is to move them around. Because you know what happens when a sign has been there for more than a week or so. You go right past it. You completely tune it out. You don't even know it's there. And so I've asked him to move these things around. And so there's a couple of scriptures that I want to bring to your attention. If we could pull those scriptures up. Oh, I'm sorry. I neglected. we'll come back to that in a minute, Jim. We'll come back to that in a minute. Proverbs 14:21. It is a sin to despise one's neighbor, but blessed is the one who is kind to the needy. How many of us, reading that, are guilty of sin? Because we have despised our neighbor. We've seen somebody in need, and we've not allowed our heart to open with compassion. The next verse that I want to bring to your attention, also one of our signs, this one right here, Isaiah 58:7, and it's in the context of fasting. And God says, is this not the kind of fast I have chosen? Is it not to share your food with the hungry and to provide the poor wanderer with shelter? You see, it's fine to fast. That's a spiritual discipline, a spiritual exercise. That's fine, a time to draw near to God. But God wants us to pour out our spiritual disciplines with action. He wants us to put feet to our prayers, feet to our concerns, and to give to those who are hungry. Provide the poor wanderer, the homeless, with shelter. This is in the heart of God. And so the main point of this message is this. It comes out of this piece of teaching from the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus' words, that as His disciples, Jesus called us to give to and help those that are in need out of a heart of gratitude and without desire for acclaim, without desire for attention being drawn to ourselves. As we read this, we have to dissect some of what Jesus says. We understand that His ministry, Jesus' ministry on earth, was a ministry of both word and deed. He came to teach, but He also came to demonstrate the kingdom through acts of compassion, healing acts, and He often provided food for people. Now, He also challenged them and said, you folks aren't coming to hear the words of eternal life, you are coming for the food. If you want to get a crowd, just get some fried chicken or some pizza. That would bring me. You know what? It's easy to get a crowd. Jesus was able to get crowds. But you remember in John chapter 6 where He began to bring some very difficult teaching. Remember the context? He was talking about Himself as the bread of life, and He says, listen, unless you eat the flesh of the bread of the Son of Man and drink My blood, you can have no part in Me. And they're like, whoa, I am out of here. And many of them left. They got up and they left. And He turns to His 12 disciples. He says, are you guys going to leave too? And Peter, speaking for all of them, says, Jesus, where are we going to go? You have the words of eternal life. You see, food can draw people. And food often has to be a means of compassion, of expressing our heart of God. It doesn't end there. We then give them the hope of the gospel of Jesus Christ so that they can have both physical and spiritual food. Amen? We do them both. Now, when Jesus, here in this passage, talks about us giving, he's going to use a contrast in just a moment. We'll see that. But when He talks to us about our giving, He talks about our Heavenly Father. So immediately, we have to understand that He is referring to the Heavenly Father who has loved us, loved the world of people, so much so that He sent His Son out of love for our sins that we might have eternal life. You all know the Scripture, John chapter 3, verse 16. For God so what? Loved the world. Not just Christians. God loved the world. That He gave His one and only Son, that whoever would believe in Him should not perish, but what? Have eternal life, everlasting life. That's why God sent His Son. That's the motivation behind it. God looked upon man, on humans, and He said, what a big, hot mess. But I'm not going to just leave you there. I'm not going to just leave you in your sin problem. No, I'm going to provide a solution through My Son. And Jesus Christ was sent to primarily to come and to minister to the whole person, specifically the need for us to have our sins forgiven, that we might have a relationship with God through Him. We are studying the book of Hebrews in our men's study, and we are learning so much how awesome, we have such an awesome Savior who has provided incredible atonement, incredible salvation for us, that which the law and the old prophets and the priests could not accomplish. Christ accomplished it by His perfect sacrifice of His life, and then He was raised from the dead that we might have that eternal life with Him. And eternal life is not after we die. Eternal life begins eternal life begins now. Begins now. I come into a relationship with the Lord and I just keep on going. And when that time of death occurs or when the Lord returns, we just keep right on walking with Him. And so, Jesus wants to talk about our Father and the heart of God, His Father heart. As I said, His ministry is both of word and deed. His gospel was demonstrated with actions and with His lifestyle, so ours must be demonstrated with action and with a lifestyle. Listen, especially towards those who are disenfranchised, who are downcast, who are needy. He calls us to do the same as He did, that our witness needs to be backed up with gospel deeds, loving deeds, especially towards these that are in need. We live in a nation that we have a lot of vulnerable people, a lot of disenfranchised people. Now, we could spend a lot of time on why that is, but you know, we'll leave that to some of the political pundits and the social analysts and so on. But we've been given a task. And like this resource center, we're trying to address the basis of these issues as well. Not just hand a fish, right? You give a man a fish, he has a meal. You teach him to fish, he has a meal for a lifetime. We're trying. But we need help. Listen, we need you, God's people, to be a part of it. I'm amused sometimes when people will come to me and they're all excited, "Pastor, I had an idea. Let's have this ministry. Let's do this, this, and this. Oh, it'd be awesome. God will use this. We'll be mightier." And they'll say, "What do you think, Pastor?" "Yeah. When are you going to start?" And they're like, "Oh, not me. Oh, not me. I thought you were going to do it." No. No. Roger reminds me of this often, that when I came here to this church, I said, "We're not going to start any new ministries until God raises somebody up, puts it on their heart, so that they have a passion for it, and then find a team, and they begin to do it. It is not my job to do all the ministries of the church." Did you know that? It is not my job. Rather, in Ephesians chapter 4, it says, "I am to equip you, the saints, to do the work of the ministry. I'm your cheerleader. I will challenge and encourage you in the word," excuse me, "and with counsel. I will pray for you." But you and I have different tasks. Yours is to take up the cross in whatever God is calling you and the way He has gifted you, your passion, your heart. I'm so excited that many people do feel a calling to the homeless, to the needy. That's an awesome thing. And I applaud this congregation for our involvement. And so we need to back up our gospel testimony with gospel acts, gospel deeds, especially towards those that are in need. Now, this flows right out of the two greatest commandments that Jesus emphasized in Matthew 22, verses 37 to 39. You know the scripture very well. Jesus said these words. They asked Him, "Jesus, what's the greatest commandment?" He said, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like unto it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these the whole of the prophets and the law hang." These two commandments, the whole of the law and the prophets, hang on these two commands. And so the ministry of giving, the ministry of helping, the ministry of of reaching out to those who are in need that comes right out of the second command, to love your neighbor as yourself. You might say, well, Pastor, my neighbors are fine. And they, in fact, they live in a bigger house than me. And they drive a bigger, nicer car than me. Well, he's not talking only about your immediate neighbors. Your neighbor, as we're told from the parable of the Good Samaritan, your neighbor is anyone that you are in contact with that is in need. You and I are called to be Jesus to them. So number one, as we break this down, is this. Jesus expects us to give to and to help those in need, as has always been the heart of God. It's always been the heart of God. Now, let's break this down a little bit more under number one. You see verse one, Jesus says, be careful not to do your acts of righteousness before men to be seen by them. This word, acts of righteousness, some of the older translations, it's actually translated alms. You know, and that's where we sometimes hear almsgiving and so on. And you've heard, you know, alms for the poor, alms for the poor. Somebody thought I was doing a mantra. It's not. Alms means this. It means an act of compassion with action towards those in need. An act of compassion with action towards those in need. And so Jesus says, when you do your acts of righteousness, when you do your almsgiving, when you're doing your compassionate action towards those in need, when? He expects it. Verse 2, so when you give to the needy. He doesn't say if, does he? There's an expectation there. There's an implication. When? And this really, this discussion that Jesus is having here in Matthew chapter 6, and as I said, it's a larger part of the Sermon on the Mount, from Matthew chapter 5 all the way through chapter 7. This specific discussion is the first of discussion of three acts of righteousness. It's giving, praying, and fasting. These were these came out of rabbinic teaching of the day. The rabbis, the Jewish teachers of the law and of the prophets, and this is what they would teach. You know, there's these three acts of righteousness: giving to the poor, praying, and fasting. And Jesus addresses all of them. Now, we don't have time to do all three today. We're going to focus on giving. And the rabbis and teachers of the law of the day, they were all about these. But here's the problem. They were all about them with the wrong heart. They were all about these practices of righteousness, these actions, compassionate actions, but they were all about them for the wrong reason. He says, don't be like them. Verse 1, to be seen by men. Verse 2, he says they announce it with trumpets. Can you imagine that? I mean, that'd be like me coming up here and say, okay, Jeff, hit it. Da-da-da. Okay, Pastor Tom just gave two. Okay, but they actually practiced this in the streets. They would flow down the streets with their big fancy robes, and the trumpet would, you know, announce that they were coming, and they would put their offering into the bucket. And he says, you're doing this to be seen by men. You've already received your reward. He says, don't be like them. I expect you to give, but don't be like them. Don't have a heart like them where they are trying to bring attention to themselves. He says, give and help as we incarnate Him. We incarnate Jesus' heart. We become His hands and His feet. We become, in a sense, Jesus in this world. Jesus with skin on. That's what the word incarnate means. Incarnate is Latin, in the flesh. We become Jesus in the flesh to a world of need. And then he goes on to say, verse 3, don't let your left hand know what your right hand is giving, but rather do it in secret, and your Father, there it is again, your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. Father God's looking for secret givers. Father God's looking for those who will see a need. Listen, you stay with me, say amen. We're going to wrap it up by 12 today, I guarantee it. I bet you a pizza. Jesus says this, your Father is looking for secret givers. Those who are going to do things behind the scenes, They're not looking for the applause and the admiration, the commendation of men. He's looking for those. Listen, they're going to see a need and they're going to meet it. They're going to meet it. Listen, you don't have to wait for me to tell you about a need for you to have action about it. In fact, I challenge you, I encourage you, if you see a need, to do it. What is it about us sometimes? We'll see a need, we're like, I kind of want to give, but I'm not sure. Just do it. Give freely out of your heart. Freely you have received, freely give. Just do it. Well, Pastor, I don't want them to use the money in the wrong way, and maybe they're going to go out and buy alcohol. Listen, we use some discernment. But once you put that money into God's hand in that situation, that's no longer up to you. I told you the story of the homeless man that, I bought him a hamburger. He wanted money. I said, I can't give you money, but I'll buy you a hamburger here at the McDonald's. And I paid for his hamburger, and before it was up, I started walking away, and I hear him say, "Put that hamburger back." He wanted the money from the cashier. But you know what? Once I paid that, I did it unto the Lord, and it didn't matter what happened at that point in terms of how I had given. And so open your heart freely. Open your heart freely. Let me ask you this. As we look at the people of God, especially in the Old Testament, did they never take advantage of God's goodness and God's mercy and God's provision? How about you and me? Do we never take advantage of God's goodness and provision and His mercy? Do we never take advantage of His grace? Oh, I know I sin, but I'm going to be forgiven, so it's okay. So, how many of you here would raise your hand and say, I've never taken advantage of God's mercy and grace? And you're worried about someone else taking advantage of a little bit of money or an act of righteousness, a kindness? Really? Okay, let's get past that, folks. Let's get past ourselves. Jesus expects us to give with the right heart, the right motive. Don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. Do it in secret. Here's what James has to say about the heart of God. Here's what God is looking for in our religion. James chapter 1, verse 27. Ryan Allen is going to read that for us.
God our Father accepts as pure and faultless as this: to look after orphans and widows in their distress, and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world.
Look after orphans and widows in their distress. Well, Pastor, we don't really have too many widows here in the church. Yes, we do. We have a lot of women that have children and their husbands have abandoned them. For whatever the reason is or however it's worked, those are widows. They're single moms that are alone. Maybe it hasn't been death that's taken their husband, but they're alone. There's some single fathers in here. Here's a thought. Maybe you know some single fathers. Have you ever offered to, hey, why don't you take a couple hours off this evening? I'll hang out with your kids. Now, there's a thought. Now, I know some of you, that thought terrifies you. I understand. But you know, somebody's laughing over there. Why not think of creative ways of how to help those that may be in need? How about someone, as JoJo expressed, came into this congregation 7 years ago, and we reached out with open arms because he didn't have anybody else. And we said, hey, you're welcome, because we're a pretty motley crew too. You're welcome, JoJo. Be right here with us. And now we've seen the great transformation in JoJo's life as Christ has transformed his heart so that he wants to give to others and reach out with the love of Christ. Here's another scripture. I hope this will knock your socks off here. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 28. Colby Garrett will read that for us.
He who has been stealing must steal no longer, but must work, do something useful with his own hands, that he might have something to share with those in need.
Ooh, there's an interesting command. He who has been stealing must steal no longer. Well, you might say, Pastor, I'm not stealing. Okay, granted. Okay, But what is in that? The person is stealing to meet their needs. And there's really a two-pronged effect here. Number one is, this is a person who has been in need, and the expectation is that he comes into the community of faith that his needs are going to be met by who? Us. Right? In the early church, do you remember what it says? That they were all in one accord together, and that's not a Honda, by the way. I'm just trying to make sure you're awake. They were all in one accord, and there was no needy among them. For some from time to time came and brought land sold things and put it at the apostles' feet so that those in need may have something. There was no needy among them. So there's an expectation there. The second part of this is that he who is stealing must steal no longer. If a person is stealing, they're all about themselves, right? Now, there may be different reasons that they're stealing, but the bottom line is they're all about their own needs. Christ calls us to move past our own needs, and he says what? You now have to work. Okay, that is not just an American value. That is a biblical value. We're supposed to work. And we must do something useful with our own hands, not only for your own needs, is it? But what else? You may what? Have something to share with what? Those in need. Part of the reason that God allows you and me to earn a salary is so that we can share with those that are in need. Did you know that? That's part of our calling. And Jesus expects us to do it and to do it with the right heart. Let me ask you a question. Are you giving to and helping those in need? I've been very encouraged over these past few weeks. We've had these formal ways of giving. We've had the shelter, and now you see the shelter needs that are there. We've had the Thanksgiving collection, and we'll be having the Thanksgiving distribution coming up. Operation Christmas Child. Eagle's Nest Outreach Ministries that happened this past Friday. Now I want to show those clips, Jim, the pictures. Many of you contributed for the Eagle's Nest Outreach, and Lennis is not here today. I think she's exhausted. But she sent some pictures. All these clothes, these items, that they're looking, guess where they came from? The majority of it came from you. Because she came to me and she said, Pastor, I don't know what we're going to do. We want to meet the needs of the people, but we don't have anything for them. And I brought the needs to you, and many of you contributed clothing, shoes, items. And here's the folks that are looking through. These are clients of theirs. They're looking through the clothes. But you know what? They didn't just give them clothes and items and things that they need. They brought a woman. It's a minister that she knows, friend of hers, came and preached the gospel to these folks. Here it is in their little gathering. And then the next ones that you see, go back to that first slide, Jim. These are people that responded to say yes to Jesus. And you were a part of this. Jesus said, when you do it unto the least of these, my brothers and sisters, you've done it unto me. And so you had a big part in this. She sent me those pictures Friday afternoon, because I had asked her, I said, how's it going? And she sent me those pictures, and she said, oh, Pastor, it's going so awesome. Thank you so much. And that thank you doesn't go to me. That thank you goes to you. Thank you for giving. Thank you for participating. And so, If you haven't had the opportunity, you still have it. We have the Operation Christmas Child continuing. We have the upcoming Honduras trip. We're going to bring you some emphasis on that before we leave for that. And then there's the informal, everyday opportunities that come your way and my way. Your neighbors, your workmates, your friends, your classmates. You have opportunities all the time. Let's take advantage of those opportunities, because Jesus expects us to give to and help those that are in need out of the love He's poured into us. That's point number two. He expects us to give to and meet these needs out of the love He's poured into us. Jesus said in verse 2, your Father in heaven. Verse 4, your Father in heaven. There's the assumption there that we have come to know the love of God through Jesus Christ, and now God is our Father in heaven. I'm going to end with 1 John chapter 3, verse 16 through 18. And Randy Denny will read that for us.
This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers. If anyone has material possessions and sees his brother in need, but has no pity on him, how can the love of God be in him? Dear children, let us not love with words or tongue, but with the actions and in truth.
That's from old Uncle Apostle John. Apostle John is probably in his 70s or 80s at this point that he writes these letters, and he's saying to you, that's why he says, dear children. When you're 80 years old, you call everybody children. And so he says, dear children, that's you and me. Let us not love with lip service, but rather let us love with actions and in truth. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the love you had poured out on us through your Son, Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord, that you loved us so much that you didn't leave us in our sin, but you provided a way of salvation. And as Jesus, you said, you are the only way to the Father. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. Father, we have come to you. We've received your love. We've received your grace. Forgiveness of our sins, Lord. Life everlasting. And we are grateful. Lord, let our gratefulness pour forth into a heart of mercy and love and action where we meet the needs of those who are less fortunate. And not only the physical needs, but Lord, the true hope and the love of Christ, the gospel of our salvation. I pray for each one of us here. Lord, I bless your people for their attention to your word. Lord, may we go forth with a renewed effort and zeal to be the hands and feet of Christ in a dying world. I pray these things over your people in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. And the people of God said, amen. If you want prayer for any reason, come on up and be prayed for.